the reading. Let me say this, the Word of God, this Bible is going to be right 9 times out of 9. The Word of God is going to be right, even when everything feels right and you're going the wrong direction. The Word of God is still the right place to be in. And John 15 and verse 4, Jesus is speaking. He said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branches can't bear of itself, can't bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do," somebody say it, "nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withereth, and men gathereth them, cast them in the fire, and they are burned." Verse 7, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you, continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Your joy may be full. In other words, he said, my joy remains in you and your joy will be fulfilled. I want that fulfillment. How about you? Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for fulfillment today in my life. Nothing can satisfy. Lord, nothing can give me hope like you can. Lord, we read it today. God, we want your word to be in us. We want your blessings in us. And we want to abide in you today and live in you. And we pray that your glory, God, would be in our hearts and minds and souls, our ways. And we thank you today, God, for the fulfillment of joy in our lives. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you today. I want just to introduce something to us today. And I want to title what I feel, "Put Your Plans in God's Plans." Put your plans into God's plan, basically, singular, and watch how God will work it out in your life. I want to talk to us today about a call to realignment. You know, summer is here. It's a season of energy, possibilities, and guess what? Storms. Just as weather forecasts can change and the weather begins to, one moment it looks bright, but the other day while the sun was shining, it was storming. It was raining, and lightning was happening on one side here at the church. On the other side, the sun was shining. And what a contrast. Within a few moments, the storm began to take over and began to move. And how crazy it was to watch the moment of just a few minutes before. It was hot and sunshine, and the next moment it rained and it became cool. And I want to just say this. They say if you don't like the weather, just wait a little bit. It might change. But just as weather forecasts can change, many times our best laid out plans in life can change. Your life can change and your plans can change just like that. Have you ever come to a crossroad in life where life all of a sudden took a different turn other than what you thought? And you say, wait a minute, that wasn't a plan. Many times there's things that will come and life often forces us to pivot. And there's health challenges that come our way. There's unexpected demands. There's the shifting of different things in your life where priorities have to be rearranged. It could be a sudden layoff. It could be something that happens where your new car, even though you say, I have it all together, it's a nice car, new car, but one little mishap, everything could go wrong. Life doesn't read your plans. Life does not go by your playbook. And when things begin to transpire to where you go through a season of life where it seems, God, where are you? It feels like, God, have you abandoned me? And you feel abandoned in the race of life. It is here that we need to stay connected. The scripture Jesus is beginning, we just read, Jesus is beginning to talk through the scriptures that we need to abide in him. Stay put in him. And put your life and keep your life in his plans, even when your plans seem to have fallen. There's ideas that we often paint in our brain that we want this idea type life, to where we feel that it's all together in the next moment. Our dream has soured. What we had expected and what we had aspired for it to work out didn't work out. How many's ever had your plans fail you? How many's ever had your ideas all of a sudden just melt down to nothing? Have you ever invested in something? I'm not talking about just in money, but invested your hopes in something, your time into something, and all your work went down the drain immediately. I mean, it's ever had that happen. I'm sure you had. You've been around where everything went down the drain and your plans did not work out. Everything happened to you. It didn't go the way that you wanted to go. And I've even thought that, hey, this is going to make it. I felt good about something. It felt good to my heart. But after a moment of time, after we got into it, like the old man said, the horse that I picked that was underneath my feet, underneath my legs, fell out from underneath me. And there I was left stranded. I want to tell somebody, life has a way of going in different patterns and different plans and different routes that we normally pick. And we think it's all could be all be this and all that. But I want to tell you, the key to making it when things don't feel right is to abide in God. The foundation of God is this: if you abide in him and he abides in you, amen, there's something that begins to happen and something that begins to transpire. You see, the Bible begins to talk about the man who builds his house on the sand and the man who builds his house on the rock. The wise man was the man who dug deep and built his house on the rock. And the foolish man just built his house on the sand. Both of the houses experienced, the Bible says, a great storm that vehemently beat on the houses. And the floods rose up and the rains began to pelter down. The winds began to come. But the Bible says the house that was on the rock stood. Both of these faced the same storms, but the house on the rock stayed. I want to tell somebody today, when you build your life on the rock cannot be rocked. The storms cannot knock it down. I'm glad today I have something solid to live and build on. And when our plans are in God, our ambitions, we begin to realize that they could be blown away in a matter of time. But when we anchor ourselves in the purpose of God, and we put our hopes in God, God will never shortchange you. God will never fail you. God will not abandon you. God will not leave you stranded. And God will not undermine you. I'm glad I have a faithful Father who is our shepherd today. The Lord is still our shepherd. Are you thankful today that God still guides us? And what God leads you to in life, hey, he's not just going to put you in that storm without being in that storm with you. I want to stay put in God. The scripture we read this morning, Jesus said, abide in me. And those that abide in him, regardless of whatever happens in your life, regardless if your plans and ambitions and aspirations fail, if you stay put in God and keep your faith anchored in Jesus Christ, how beautiful it is that he's going to help you through it. Amen. How many has had to go through some storms? Let me see some hands today. And how many has known that when you kept your heart in God, God will keep you in the midst of the most severe situation. There's been severe things that's happened to people that makes us scratch our heads and we wonder, why do we have to go through this? Or why does bad things happen to good people? We often begin to wonder, why does these prevailing storms come to people's lives? And why do they have to go through it? I don't know the reason why. I don't know the answer on the other end. But if God purposed you to go through a storm, he has a purpose and an outcome that is greater than what we see and greater than what we know. I come to encourage today in this message to let you know that if you abide in him and he abides in you, amen, God will get you through what you need to go through. Amen. And you will go through in a greater way than what you ever dreamed. Amen. There was a man of the Bible. His name was Job. Job was a very influential man, a very well-pronounced man in his day and hour in his community and his society. He was very wealthy and he had a great family. But it only took one moment of time that everything was taken from him. And how tragic it was that the moment that he would get a report from this person of something happening, the next moment somebody else would run. Wave after wave after wave after wave of bad reports came to him. Your son has died. Your other child has died. Your children has died. Your crops that you had, your barn, everything you had, your house, everything was melted down. Let me just tell you, friend, God allowed Job to go through that because God wanted to prove to everybody around that God was still God, even when the materials of this life are all failing. Amen. God still holds the key to the outcome. And Job went through this and everybody came to him. Well, don't you hate it when your friends come to you, give you counsel, and they contradict what you know in God? When you know that God will never leave you, God will never forsake you, and God will never fail you, and his word is always going to be right. And people come to you and they begin to usher you to an idea of saying, why don't you just curse God? You know, look what God's doing. How dare you can do this? And I want to tell you, the biggest voice that I have to defeat is the voice inside of me. It's my voice that I hear in my head many times that says, why don't you just turn? Well, it's not worth living for God. Even when the voice inside of you is your voice, and whenever it comes to you and challenges the ways of God, the word of God, I'm going to tell you, stay with God's plan, and God's plan will lead you through. Amen. In the hand of God, amen, will work the plan of God. Amen. I want to just tell somebody today, God will never fail you. God will never forsake you. Job's friend said, curse God. This is what Job's wife said, the same thing. But Job said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he said, though the Lord takes me and even my life, I'm not going to curse God. I'm not going to charge God foolish. Amen. I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to keep my trust that God is up to something. When your life, something is going around in your life that you don't understand, and things are coming in your life that you can't comprehend, and when life itself don't make sense, I'm going to tell you, there's a God who sees further than we can see. When there's fog on your horizon and you don't know what direction to take, amen, I want to tell you, his hand will lead you through what you can't go through on your own. The Lord is still our great shepherd. The Lord is still in control when things are out of control. That's the reason why we have to have a relationship with God. People that believe that all you could do is nothing in order to have God, I'm going to tell you, we bring nothing to the table with God. Nothing in our life. No good looks, no great deeds. You know what all God wants is a surrender. But we have to obey God. We have to trust God. And faith operates where, and grace means I'm getting what I don't deserve. And mercy is something that I can't earn. Not by my measures. Salvation is not even earned. But friend, faith does have to have works. Faith has to have some abiding. And faith does have to have some resistance of some things in your life. Amen. You have to learn to say no to some things. Doubt and unbelief will come your way and begin to try to tell you a different voice and a different manner to tell you your life is not worth it. Why don't you just end your life? Why don't you just jump off the cliff somewhere to get it over with? But I want to tell somebody, if God has brought you to a place you don't understand, it's time that we lean on Him. Amen. Leaning on His everlasting arms is what we need in this hour. Amen. They didn't know when they picked that song out today what I was going to be talking about, but it was right on cue today to tell somebody in this place, amen, God is a faithful God. God is a certain God. God is a God of righteousness, a God of order, and a God who will fulfill your life. And I love the scripture at the ending of what we read today. He said, my joy, when it's in you, will fulfill your joy. Your expectation, the things in your life will never feel. Have you ever seen somebody who gets rich? And even though they got things, they're never quite satisfied. They never reach the place a complete satisfaction that may gratify them. But greed is an endless grave. Greed is a hungry worm that is never filled. And it seems like the more people get, the more they want. And these wants are never pacified and satisfied. But I want to tell you, there's something in the Word of God. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain. When you got God in your life, you got the greatest gain. When there's contentment that God has my life and I know that God is leading me, I'm going to anchor in God. I'm going to put my trust in God. I'm going to rely on Him. I'm going to lean on God versus all the apparent ways that everybody's trying to get me to look at. Amen. The scripture that we read today says, abide in Him. You can't bear fruit unless you're fully joined with God and His glory's working in you. That intimate relationship of abiding with God is amazing. How God will take a nothing out of your life, an impossible life, of life of failures, of life of mishaps, of life of unwanted things and regrets in the back of your mind. Horrible things that you can't empty out of your mind that you wished you'd never done. I'm glad I have a God that looks beyond your past when you surrender your past to Him. Amen. God says, I'll take you and I'll make you what you can't be on your own, but you got to let your life yield to me. You got to yield your plans. You got to yield your life to me. When your plans become His plans, how amazing. Amen. When all your desires and your delight of your life begins to say, God, I want to delight in Your ways. My desire, I want to desire what You have in my life. Amen. Because You know as well as myself, amen, You'll never be satisfied in this whole world. You'll never be gratified in this whole world without the glory of God living inside of you. Let's talk about life. You know, life requires divine navigation. I got to have God aboard to help me navigate the storms in life. Life is kind of like air travel. You ever flown anywhere? I mean, you go to the airport, they're going to give you delays. There's people that get to the airport thinking, man, we're going to be wherever at this particular time. And they get to the airport and you're the subject of the air travel. You don't know what's going to happen. And all of a sudden they tell you your flight's been delayed. We've rerouted some things. Or a storm or sudden turbulence come about and all of a sudden your flight plans have changed. You were hoping to be there at that particular place and you had plans and you had somebody you wanted to see or meet or an event that you were going to, and the next thing you know it, something happens, a mishap happens, and the airline company looks at you and said, we have delayed your flight. One time there was a group of people that were waiting. They were so excited to be somewhere to go see an event or see something happen. And they were at the airport and they were so excited. And they get aboard the plane, and the plane started to take off, and all of a sudden it turned around and they came back. And everybody had to get off the plane. And they were wondering what's going on. They were shaking their watches, looking at their phones, going, what's the deal? And the pilot said, I had a warning light come on, and we had to just make sure everything is okay. And everybody was fussing because of a warning light. I'm going to tell you, thank God for warning lights. Amen. Thank God sometimes for warnings that come that causes us to turn around. I'm glad that there was a warning light instead of a mishap in the middle of the air. And they didn't understand. I want to tell you, when God tells you no, when God puts a blockade in your life, many times we get upset. We get frustrated when the train right up here on Main Street, Douglas Highway, when it catches us. And we say, oh no, I'm delayed. But thank God for delays sometimes, because God has a plan. Amen. There's been many times we wonder, why am I late? There was a time that I had to run back in the house and get something. And ran back. And just that little moment of going back in the house and getting something. And when I got in my vehicle right up the road, just right up the road, was a fresh accident that probably I was going to be a part of. God sees what we can't see, folks. Amen. And there may be delays in your plans. Amen. And things that don't happen quite like you figured out and desired it to be. That God says, I'm the one. I'm the master engineer of your life. And God is here today to help you. God is here to minister to you. But let me just tell you, the Bible says life in the book of James is as a vapor. It's here just a little bit and then it vanishes away. Do you realize on your grave tomb, there's only two dates? The day you was born and the day that you die. And what is your life represented by? Just a little dash. A 2-inch dash is all what your life is going to be measured out to be on the tombstone. We're running just a 2-inch dash, folks, not a 50-yard dash, but a 2-inch dash of life. And but God says in that 2-inch dash of life, I have something far greater to give you. He said, I've come to give you life here while you're living, but I have a greater hope beyond this world. I'm thankful today that there is a place that there will never be a 2-inch dash. There's life everlasting that God has promised to the runners of this race, to those that would abide in him. He has a plan beyond this world. Now, let's talk about living this life. Amen. You may live just a short time. Your life, there's people, unfortunately, don't get to live 70 years. And those of you above 70 years today, you've got a bonus. How many above 70? Let me see your hand. Look at these people with a bonus. You've got a bonus. And I see people that are 75 years old are griping about life and forgetting the bonus they have. You need to enjoy living. Not everybody gets to live to 70 years old. But if we live 25 years, I want to tell you, amen, it means God has ordained your life to go 25 years. But God's plan is not for you just to be a dash here. Not for you to just be that little bitty line in between the day you was born. But God wants you to be something instrumental. God has a plan for you to be his child, his representative, his ambassador in this hour. That he could use your life, that through your life you could produce fruit. You could be something for him, because friend, eternity matters. I want to just stop right here and let you know that heaven is not for good people, because good people go to hell. I go to funerals where the preacher gets up and say, he was a good man, surely he's in heaven. And I've seen a lot of funerals and where people lied and they made up all kind of things to make the occasion sound good. But it was artificial. It was synthetic hope that he was bringing. I want to tell you, amen, heaven is not, amen, made up of just people that were good, but people that surrendered their life to the Almighty God. People that were born again. Amen. That religious man named Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he was an older man. He was very well structured in the Old Testament. And he comes to Jesus by night and he said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus looked at him and he said, "Nicodemus, basically, you got to be born again." And Nicodemus scratched his head and thought, "I'm an old man. My mama's dead. I can't go back and be born." Jesus said, "You're not catching this. When I say you got to be born again, it means you got to be born again of the water and of the spirit to see or enter into the kingdom of God. You've got to have a new birth. You've got to have a spiritual beginning in God. You can't just go the way that you've been going. Somewhere in your time, you've got to hit that place that you say, 'God, I recognize that my life by myself without you is no good. I need you aboard my life. I need your spirit aboard my life.' And man needs the power of God in order to have eternal life." So heaven is full of people that are born again. And I don't care how rotten you were. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. I need the righteousness of God. That doesn't mean, friend, that just because Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the grave, that I have a license to live like a tramp or somebody that's evil. No. I got to submit my soul to God. I got to surrender my life to God and abide in him. I got to let my plans be his plan. I got to let his word be the thing that I go by. This is a plan, friend, that you got to fulfill in your life. I don't know where people are getting it today. They're not reading the same Bible that's right here. That feeling, oh, you can just do whatever and you'll enter into heaven. Heaven don't have bar rooms up there, folks. The Bible speaks about it. It said the drunkard's not going to enter into heaven. The adulterer's not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The fornicator, the effeminate, the homosexual, that's what the Bible teaches. It's not going to enter in the kingdom of heaven. But I'll tell you who will. I'm thankful that there are those that has repented of those things. Those that have said, "God, I'm a sorry individual." How many's recognized that you're a sorry individual? How many got to that place you look in the mirror and say, "I am a misfit"? You know what? God loves it when we finally get to the place of realization that we don't have it together. I don't even have it in my capacity. I fail. Amen. When you look at yourself and realize that you are a failure and you don't have it in yourself, you're in a good standing, because that's what God's looking for. God is looking for somebody to admit that they need him. Amen. Today, I'm glad you have admitted that you need the Almighty God. Amen. I want to tell you, my good family and a good home that I was raised in will not get me to heaven, but my admission that I need the Almighty God. I need the glory of God. I need to come to that place of turning to him and saying, "God, I am a miserable creature. Forgive me, Lord, of my life. Forgive me of my sins." But I'm thankful that in the kingdom of God, there are people that used to be drunks. There used to be alcoholics. There used to be fornicators and adulterers and liars and cheaters and people that, oh, even good people, amen, that has repented of their sins. Amen. Are you thankful that there's a place in God's kingdom for those that have admitted and those that have submitted to God and they have abiding in him today? Because they come to the conclusion, God's plan matters more than my plan. I want to say this today. Eternity is too long for us to be wrong. Somebody said, "What is eternity, preacher?" And I have to get real simple and try to teach people, especially I work with all different types of people, from people that are inmates in the jail, and I work with people in the courts. I work with people that, even the judges. And so when they ask me questions, I have to give it in a manner that is practical. So this is the way I explain eternity. If we could take a stainless steel ball the size of the earth, stainless steel ball the size of our earth, and a hummingbird every 1,000 years would come and brush his wings against that stainless steel ball. Every 1,000 years, a hummingbird just brushes his wings. When that stainless steel ball, the size of the earth, is completely worn away to nothing, eternity will just begin. That's pretty hard to swallow. But I want to tell you, eternity's too long for us to be wrong. I got to get my soul right with God. I got to keep my soul in God's glory. You today in this place, the scripture says God is not willing. Jesus said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You got to come to that place in your life of making that surrender and that submission to God. Amen. The Lord is here today to help somebody. Amen. To turn your life around to him in realization and saying, God, I've made a mess. My plans are not going the way that I projected them. I had to abandon. I had to abort the mission, so to speak, of life. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, I'd rather have God's way than my way. I'd rather go the plan that God has me for me than my blueprints. My blueprints have always fell apart. Amen. When I try to engineer things, I'm not a good engineer. I'm not even a good engineer of a toy train. I always derail. But I'm thankful today that God is the one that knows how to put it together. God is able to make a life so beautiful. God is able to take worn out lives, messed up lives, failures, prodigals, haters of God, haters of man, people that couldn't get along with each other and can't get along with their own selves. Got to take that type of person that finally comes to the conclusion, I need you, Jesus. When you finally get to that place in life, you are the greatest candidate for the greatest compliment of heaven when the Lord comes in your life. Amen. I feel the touch of the Lord in this place right now for somebody. You know what I have today? I have a message of hope for somebody. When your plans have failed you, his plans will never fail you. The plan of God is here today for somebody. When we pray, we don't pray to a statue. Scripture talks about it. God is a God that is not just up there just looking pretty. The God that I serve is not an old man sitting up there all hunched over like the cartoonist would paint him or picture him or draw him. That's not the mindset. And the God that I serve is not like the college professor that is trying to undermine the power and the dignity and the deity of God. They try to figure them out and put them right here. That's not the God that I serve. The God that I serve is an all-powerful God who hears, who sees, and who knows everything. But he's a God that will respect your will. God will never take over and make you live for him. God will never take and make you a tortured individual that he has to put you in an arm lock to make you serve him. But I'll tell you, when somebody finally says, God, I need you. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your love. I need your power. Amen. Oh, how wonderful when you come to that road, that crossroad to say, God, I want your plan, your will in my life. I'm willing to submit myself. The great God of heaven, he's not that old man that is just sitting there, but the great God that we talked about, the great God that we know, is a God who's faithful, a God who's just, and a God of love who will transform your life. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the reason why I tell people, you give me the unwanted. And when God gets done with them, they'll be the people that everybody wish they could have. Amen. How many has ever felt that unwantedness in your life? You know, you don't have to look around and see whose hands are lifted. Amen. But there's somebody here today. Amen. Oh, amen. You've been on that unwanted list. Amen. Not everybody picked you. Not everybody chose you. You were the least of the least. But I'm grateful today that God said, amen, I have a place for you. I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for your soul and your life. Amen. We could connect to him and know him. Amen. Oh, friend, I want the Lord today in this place to prove to you amen, that the rock of ages will be, amen, that strong substance and that strong security for your life in the midst of the storms where plans just seem to go sour and everything is happening. Amen, I have a God that will be there to keep you in the midst of the troubles and the trials of your life. That's the God I want. That's who I want in my life. That's who I want operating in me. And I love the scripture. He talks about when his joy is in you, your joy is going to be complete. Nothing fulfills a life. And Jacob, I've got to visit with Jacob before a couple of times. And Jacob, I think the first time I ever visit with you, and I said this, we don't go to Goodwill and find puzzles. I tell people that wherever I go. Why in the world do I go to, why won't I go to Goodwill and find a puzzle? Why don't I buy, I don't buy puzzles from Goodwill. Why? Stephen, in good sense today, why? You think I don't go to Goodwill and buy puzzles. Give me an answer. What's the first thing that came to your mind? Why would you go buy a puzzle from Goodwill? Yeah, you can't guarantee that all the pieces are there. I mean, Goodwill's a good place to shop, but I don't buy puzzles from Goodwill. Why? There's not a guarantee that all the pieces are going to be in that box, especially if it came out of my house with my grandkids. Life, when you were born with missing pieces, empty spots. And have you ever tried to take a piece? Like, I mean, I'm not a good puzzle worker, but when there's a missing piece, I always try to fit a piece that looks like it should go there. I press it and press it. Bring me the hammer. No, it don't work. It will not. Missing pieces can never be filled by the things of this life. God is the only one in your life. You're born with missing pieces that could fill that empty spot and that void in your life. Hear me. Nothing will fill that empty spot like God. And I just put it this way. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. And I'm thankful that I can use the word Prince of Peace to tell you that he will fill the empty peace of your life. Nothing fills the emptiness like the peace of God, the assurance of God. I just preached about it the other night, about the joy of certainty, the joy of certainty, the joy of certainty. Certainty is something everybody wants to feel. It's an absolute. Stephen, feeling certain is a valuable thing. When a man feels certain, he don't care what everybody else thinks. When you know something, you don't mind when everybody's opinion around you, it don't matter. When you feel certain, it's a good feeling. It's a guaranteed feeling inside of you. But there's a joy and a certainty that when the Lord is in your life, that he gives you. The Bible says we're complete in him, who's the head of all principalities and powers. Jesus said again, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you're going to have that joy fulfilled. Nothing fills that empty spot like God. Today, I have felt in the Lord early this morning that life has been misaligned and plans have been knocked out of your mind. You're at that place today that you feel, God, what's going on? My plans are not going the way that I want it. The unexpected has happened. Things have taken all my hopes, all my dreams, my aspirations. Things have come in. It's kind of like a man who builds a dream house, invests his money in building it. And the day before he moves in, his house burns down. And he's been paying insurance, good money. And insurance company says, I'm sorry, we can't cover it. And he watches everything burn. And he has nothing but ashes. I tell you, that happens every day. Every day. But I'm glad I have a God today that says, I got something greater than this world. I have peace for you that the world can't give you. And the world can't take it away. The God that we're talking about is in this place this morning. Would you bow your heads with me right now? The Lord wants to speak today to hearts, and he has already begun to speak to hearts. But the Lord wants to touch. God wants to minister. You're troubled. Your life is troubled. You're hopeless. You're at the end of your rope. I come to talk to somebody while your eyes are closed and your head's bowed, that even the spirit of suicide sounded so good. End it all. It's not worth living. But I want to tell you, suicide is not the ticket out of misery. The Bible begins to speak about suicide and taking lives. That's a cheap way out. The way out of your misery is to get in the plan of God and get a hold of God's plan in his hand today. You know who you are today that are facing these troubles. Your plans have been aborted. Every dream that you have has been slapped to pieces, shattered. Your hope has gone down the drain. But the goodness of the Lord is here today to take you. And I'm so thankful that God would take a life just as it is and its nothingness. And God's goodness and grace and mercy, when you hand it to him, when you hand God your nothingness, you hand God your emptiness, you hand God your failures, and you hand God your faults. The Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And he's faithful and just to take your nothingness and put his greatness in. And when God gets done, his glory abides in you. You have something to live for in your life finally. We come to talk about the King of Kings. He wants to come in today, this heart. He wants to come in your life. He wants to do more than give you religion. He wants to give you more than just something today, that a feel-good feeling. God has come to give you a certainty on the inside of your heart and your life to help you, to let you know that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to let you know that in your misery and your failure and in your doomed state of life, that he is still the one who has the last say-so. He's the one that speaks the word. He created this world. He spoke it into existence. And when you give the Creator liberty today, God will speak in your life what man can never give you and what life could never afford you, only by his goodness and his plan. Hallelujah. Right now, would you lift your hands in this building, all through this place right now, saying of God, amen, you need to lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your hand of mercy this morning. Hallelujah. I'm thankful today for grace being still amazing. Sister Kristen, amen. Would you play Amazing Grace this morning? Somebody needs to hear it all over again. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Hallelujah, like me. We're supposed to give the invitation this morning. We want you to come out of your chair. Whether you feel like you need it or not, whether you feel like, well, man, I already got this. I want you to come as well. I want you to stand up here. We ought to be thankful people for the goodness of the Lord. Even would you rise in this place this morning? I want you to get out of your chair and just ease your way to the front very reverently right now. And we're going to come around the front, and we're going to just, amen, give the Lord opportunity today to minister to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. saved a wretch like me.
Amazing grace.
How sweet the sound.
Sweet the sound.
That saved a wretch.
That saved a wretch
like me. Come on, you won't be asked to join a church up here. We don't do that. I'm just here to connect somebody's soul to God. But now, I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Band, lady, let it ring out today, sister. Like me, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. God, praise 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 God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Sing praise God with me now. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, 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 praise God. Would you pray with me? I want you to pray if it's appropriate for you to pray with somebody near you right now. Just lay your hand on their shoulder if it's appropriate, a man to a man, amen. Or if it's your wife, you can. But I want you to pray with somebody. Hallelujah. Would you pray with them? Lord, we need that certainty today. You know our tomorrow, our plans. God, we just need your peace. God, I pray for that surrender today, God. That handing over, Lord, of that life to you, Jesus. Giving over everything to you, the troubles, the trials. God, that one that feels, God, right now, the afflictions of the moment, the terror of the moment, the turmoil of right now. Lord, I pray your goodness and your spirit right now, Lord, to minister. Let your beauty come, Lord. Let your grace come, Lord. Your mercies flow. Lord, let it flow. Let it feel, Lord. Let it bring fulfillment. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, your great power, your great certainty to come, Lord, your great mercies to minister, your great loving kindness right now, God, let it flood our hearts. Let it flow within us today, Jesus. We trust you. We believe you, Lord, for that to be done. Thank you for certainty. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I give you the battle. I give you the plan. I give you my life. Hallelujah. Just this weekend, we went through a little town called Carthage, Mississippi. And in Carthage, Mississippi, there's a sign on the highway that says Blake Memorial Highway. Blake Burgess Memorial Highway. Blake Burgess was 19 years old. In his last service, church service that night, the presence of the Lord filled that place. Blake had brought young people to church with him. He had said no to sin, no to the things around him. And that night, some of his friends came to church from what the story was told us. And God changed some friends of his in that service. And Blake was rejoicing. After service that night, Blake, just right up the road from the church, Highway 16, Carthage, Mississippi, Blake's life ended like this. At his funeral, that church was filled. I mean, packed with people. And young person after young person came up and said, because of him, I know God today. Now it's been a few years, and Blake's daddy told me just the other night, he said, Brother Crosswhite, he said, when we done that funeral, he said, there were people from all over came because of Blake's testimony. And they were able to say, God made a difference in my life because of one person that had the difference in them. Are you thankful that God still makes the difference? Hallelujah. We're thankful today. We want to pray for Pamela today. Little Pamela is a God's gift. And we're going to believe the Lord. And our mom and dad is here today. Amen. Mom, you want to come up? Amen. We're going to believe the Lord. She is 5.5 years old. And miraculous situation. When she was being born, oxygen was shut off. And they thought that she would not be. But we're so thankful that the Lord has a better plan. And here she is today. We're going to pray. And the Bible speaks in the book of James. It talks us about anoint with oil and pray in the prayer of faith. We're going to pray for this baby. That God would touch. Dad, I want to tell you what happened in Denham Springs, Louisiana. Those little braces on her legs. I'm going to tell you what happened. Brother Johnson was teaching on a Wednesday night. It was a Bible study. And it was just a regular service. And everybody thought it was just old, boring Bible study. He was talking about healing. But there was a daddy that brought that little girl in. She was crippled. She had little metal braces on her legs. And after that lesson that night, he brought his baby girl up to the front like you done today. And asked Brother Johnson in the church, would you pray for my baby? He said, this little girl is miserable. She can't walk right. They took a bottle of oil. There's nothing in this bottle but olive oil. I'm telling you. But the Bible tells us to anoint with oil and pray. Book of James. They did that. Today, if you go to Denham Springs, Louisiana, you look in the foyer of that church in a glass case or those little braces. people that day when they prayed. It was no lightning bolt. It was just a simple hand of God. It wasn't staged where a bunch of people had television cameras around to make a big deal and make a profit. It was just God doing what only God could do, and God's people just putting their trust in God. But from that occasion, that little country church today is a big mega church in Denham Springs because of people walk in the door and seeing what God's done. I want to tell you today, only God, how many people can God touch through this child? I want you to pray with me, son of God, that God would do his will today in this baby's life. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're beautiful, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, you just never, never know what God will do. Amen. God be the glory. Praise God. Amen. My friend Jacob is here. Jacob's been hurting in his body. Amen. He told me, he said, Brother Crosswhite, basically, he don't even know exactly what's happened. This is just a result. This young man's here today. Jacob, can we pray for you today? We're going to pray that God would heal your body. Hallelujah. My friend Jacob, I'm going to believe God. Amen. Give me that, bro. And I'm going to come to Jacob. Jacob's been very much in pain. We're going to believe the Lord to touch my friend today. Hallelujah. Would you all help me pray? Would you thank the Lord with me right now? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. If God could do it back then, he could do it today. Somebody said it don't happen today. It still happens. because God's still the same. Amen. And we let you listen the other day to Brother Holland gave me the testimony of how his grandpa was a preacher, and there in their community somebody had a horse and the leg was broke. And this preacher said, God, I'll need a horse to carry the gospel through these woods to other places. There's other people that need to hear the truth. And he asked God for a horse, and somebody told him, said, the horse up here in the middle of town, everybody has used, the community horse, it's got a broke leg and they're fixing to shoot it. And he went over there and he said, can you give me this horse? They said, what good is a horse with a broke leg? He said, just give him to me. He knelt down, put his hand on that brake, and while he started praying, God reached down in front of the eyes of that community. God took the bones and all that and healed it completely, covered up the skin that there was no scars. He took the horse by the mane, jumped on it, and the rest is history. God used that man's prayer that day and healed that horse, and he took the gospel all over that part of Mississippi. I'm telling you, if God could do it in the 1945 era, God could do it in 2025. Amen. Are you thankful? Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're believing and trusting God. God bless you today. Thank you for being in church with us. Our evening service tonight is fifth Sunday, and we're going to be here at 6 o'clock. We start every service with pre-service prayer. At 6, we start praying. We find a place to pray. And at 6:30, we stand and read a scripture together, and we go into the service. Our choir sings. And tonight after service, birthday anniversary, this is what happens. We go to our third building, which is our fellowship area. And tonight we have a time of fellowship, a meal after service tonight. And we, whoever's birthday it is this month, the month of June, we celebrate that. Our anniversary, we'll celebrate that tonight as well. But we want you to come back tonight. Amen. And we're going to have a great service this evening as well. Amen. All our classes on Sunday morning, they have Sunday school classes. Teachers are back there. But tonight, the whole church comes together. And this is our worship time tonight in celebration. God bless you. Let's go to heaven. How? Make sure you go by and shake Brooke's hand, Alex's hand, the Steele's hand, and the Buffington's hand. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.